We continue now in Perek Tet with Eov's response to Bildad. And as we saw, and as we've seen, Eov's responses include two parts. First, he responds to the one speaking with him, and then he speaks to God himself. He speaks to God himself. In fact, in the beginning of Perek Yud, we see in Pasuk Bet, Eov says, Omar el Eloah, I will say to God, Al tashieni hodieni al mata riveni atov l'chagdi tashok. He's not actually speaking to God. He's saying what he would say to God. But here too, it's the content of what he would say to God. What we're looking at now is what he says in Perek Tet. And what's most interesting about Perek Tet is that the beginning reminds us very much of Eliphaz's speech, which is surprising because this speech is situated in response to Bildad. So why would he be responding to Eliphaz? Well, that shouldn't necessarily shock us because it's an ongoing discussion and Eov still has everything he heard earlier here. And what we'll see is that on the one hand, his speech includes components of a response to Bildad, but on the other hand, it builds also off of a lot of the content of Eliphaz. Let's see the beginning here. The content that should remind us of Eliphaz from the very first pasuk. Vayan Eov vayomar, vayomar. Amnam yadati kichen. I knew that it's so. Uma yitzdak enosh im el. Uma yitzdak enosh im el. Those words, those five words, should remind us of the centerpiece of Eliphaz's speech back in Perek Dalet. Let's look back. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. What was Eliphaz's response to the vision or what he heard in the vision? Ha enosh me Eloha yitzdak. Ha enosh me Eloha yitzdak. And here Eov's response, Uma yitzdak enosh im el. And of course he changes the words and we'll have to get to the significance of that. But right off the bat, you see that he's responding by paraphrasing the words that Eliphaz said. Next psukim also should remind us of what we heard earlier. The next section talks about God's involvement in nature. Pasuk Gimel, Miyachpots Larivimo, Lo Yanenu Achat Min Elf. We'll get back to that pasuk. Chacham Leva Ve'Amitz Koach. God is wise and strong. Miyekshal Deishlam. Who can respond, ask questions to him, and come back safely? Hamatik Harim Ve'Lo Yadav. He moves mountains without anyone's knowledge, without their knowledge, our knowledge. Asher Hafacham Biapo. He turns them over in his anger. Hamargiz Eretz Mim Koma Ve'Amudei Yitpalatzun. He shakes the world from its place and shakes its pillars. Earthquake. Ha'omer l'cheres v'lo yizrach. He can tell the sun not to rise. Cheres is a term they used in those times to describe the sun. Uv'ad kochavim yachtom. He can close in the stars. No tesh shamayim levado. He spreads out the sky by himself. V'dorech ha'bamat eret. And steps on the high places of this world. Ose ash kesil v'chima v'chadrei teman. Again, describing how God's control of the world. Climax pasuk yud. Ose gedolot arein cheker. He does great, wondrous things. That pasuk, Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud, should remind us of the exact pasuk said by Eliphaz back in Perek He, Pasuk Tet. He said, "Ose gedolot ve'en cheker niflot ani mispar." It's actually a direct quote. So on the one hand, he's paraphrasing a lot of what we heard from Eliphaz. On the other hand, he's clearly responding to Bildad, and you see this later in the Perek. If we have to take one pasuk to emphasize this, or a couple pasukim, let's look at pasuk Yud Tet. Im l'choach amitz hine. If you want to have a battle of strength, here I am. V'im l'mishpat. But if you want to talk about justice, mio ideni. Who is informing me? Im etzdak pi, yarshieni. If I'm just with my mouth, I'll be convicted. Tamani v'yakshini. Tamani, right? He's talking about being pure and innocent as opposed to being judged. Pasuk chafei. Nitna v'yad rasha. Eretz nitna v'yad rasha. Pnei shofatel yechaseh. The land has been given over into the hands of evil. The faces of the judge have been covered. And he's talking about, is there justice? There isn't justice. He's not talking about good and bad as Eliphaz was. And I think we can understand this by going back to his very first pasuk. And the slight but significant change in formulation. Remember, we saw pasuk bet, Amnam yadati kichen, uma yitzdak enosh im el. What were the words used by Eliphaz, the parallel words? Ha'enosh Mei Eloa Yitzdak. Mei Eloa versus Im El. What's the difference?
I think in Eliphaz's world, God is above, man is below. Can man be purer than God? Can man be more just than God? Of course not. So therefore, the good must come from God and the bad must come from us. Eov isn't looking at who's greater and better. Eov is asking whether it's possible for man to be justified with God, not greater than God. Uma yitzdak enosh im el.
What does that mean, im el, with God? What's his point? I think you see from the continuation of the perek that his point is a system of justice can only really exist if we can talk about a framework where people have a chance to be judged fairly. Can a person stand opposite God and really have a discussion, have a case, have a court case, where God will present his side, man can present his side, there'll be some way of deciding it fairly? And that's a point that he sharpens in the Pasuk we read a few minutes ago in Pasuk Yutet. If you want to talk about God is stronger, you're right. God is strong, he brings the ball, he makes the rules. But v'im l'mishpat, mi'oideni, we're talking about justice? Okay. Who's going to inform me? Who's going to let me know when it's my turn to present my case? Is something like this possible? If you want to talk about justice, there have to be some, there has to be rules. There has to be a process, there has to be fair. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, just to see where he sharpens this further. He says, Lo yesh beinenu mochiach yadot yashet yado ashneinu? Can there be someone between us who will make the rules, who will tell people what they do, who can put their hand on both of us? Can there be a third independent party monitoring? Pasuk Yudalid. Not only is that not the case, but Yaser me alai shifto ve'imato al tevatani. God, for the meantime, during the trial, should take his staff off me and stop intimidating me. What kind of justice is there? God decides to punish me. There's no discussion. Even if we had a discussion, it's while I'm being punished. I don't even know about it. I don't even hear about it. I'm not even informed of it. All of a sudden, I'm punished. That's justice. Again, you want to use other terms of Vakasha, but if you want to use the term justice, then we have to see something that looks like justice. And I think we can remember, this can remind us of a very famous discussion in the Midrash, which maybe we know from elementary school, by the Akedah, all of the Ta'anot that the Satan made to Avraham to try and stop him from sacrificing Yitzchak. Right? One of them was, you're going to sacrifice your son. Tomorrow God's going to bring you in front of the tribunal and say, you sacrificed your son, what are you, crazy? You'll say, but God told me to. Say, yeah, sure. What are you going to say then? You're messing around with the one who runs the whole framework. You know, and I mentioned Yosef and Potiphar the other day. What kind of trial do you think Yosef had in front of Potiphar when his wife accused him of having relations with her? There was a judge, and Potiphar went and brought up Yosef on trial and charges, and Yosef responded. No, Potiphar heard. He decided to put him in jail. That's the kind of justice, in quote, we have with God. And I think this is part of a broader issue, which again, Eov is understandably complaining about, but from our perspective, and you're always asking, what does Judaism say about this? I'll tell you what Judaism says about this. There's a very famous, important story of Rav Amnon Mimagensa that the Arz HaRuah in Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, the end of Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, quotes as the story behind the famous piyut of Unetana Tokef. What happened? There was a great rabbi in Magenza, right, in a German city, who was close with the lord of the city. And in one of their conversations, the lord said to him, I want you to convert to Christianity. And he said, give me 3 days to think about it. As soon as he said it, he realized what a terrible thing he said to even imply that he would consider it. And after 3 days, he said, absolutely not, I'll never do it. And the lord was infuriated because he said he would think about it. And he said, if you don't convert, I'm going to chop off your arm, I'm going to chop off your leg, I'm going to chop off everything. He chopped off all of his limbs, right? And Rav Amnon Magenza was Mekadeshim Shamayim. I said he was on his last, life spirit, and he was brought into shul on Rosh Hashanah, and he said this piyut of Unetana Tokef Kedushat Hayom. And then later he died, and he came back in a dream, and he taught the piyut over, and that's how it became part of our tefillah. Well, what's the significance of that story? And I think the answer is very simple. The Lord is upset, the human Lord, lowercase L, is upset with Rav Amnon Magenza. So he goes to court and brings him up on charges. Let's say he went to court and brought him up on charges. Rabbi Magenza said that he would consider converting to Christianity. Rabbi Magenza said, it's true, and I decided no. Did he do anything wrong that deserves to have his arms and legs chopped off? Ah, there's just one thing. The Lord is the judge. That's unfair, right? It's a different kind of justice. It's the kind of justice of a king, of an army. In an army, if you spit at the general court-martials you. You don't go to a judge and you get put on trial. It's a framework of authority. And for sure, in a monarchical society. And that's exactly what Rav Amnon and Magenza just experienced here. And I think it's significant for two reasons. Number one, he understood what it means to be, let me quote from the Tefillah of the Tana Tokef, Emet ki atahu, yodeach, ve'ed, ve'chotem, ve'shofet. Let's say you do something wrong. So number one, are they able to bring witnesses? Did anyone see it? And let's say they saw it. Are they going to come to court to testify? Let's say they come to court to testify. Are they going to be believed? What's the jury going to think? What's the judge going to think? Okay, the jury will agree. The judge will be executed. It'll be an appeal. With God, God's all those roles. Which is exactly what the Lord was that Rav Amnon experienced. He experienced what it means to be judged this way, which is intimidating, which is scary. And he also saw that this is a way that's out there. And I think that's why in Rosh Hashanah, Zichronot comes after Malchiot. We were discussing the first month about how the Torah only mentions Zichron Shura by Rosh Hashanah, never mentions Malchiot by Rosh Hashanah. Yet Malchiot is not only added, but it's first and it's the central theme of Rosh Hashanah. Because in order to understand the judgment of Zichronot and why that requires Shofarot, we have to start off with understanding Malchiot. It's not a framework of what we call civilian justice system, with a jury and a judge, and you know, if you spit at President Barack Obama, so he takes you to court, right in front of a judge, and he'll have to testify and character assessment. So that's the response. But Eo, from his perspective, is saying this isn't justice. This isn't the way regular justice works. God sits up there. He makes decisions. Doesn't tell anyone, doesn't discuss with anyone, doesn't inform anyone, doesn't give anyone a chance to express themselves. And by the way, even if I'm wrong, at least I should have a chance, I should have my day in court. I should know what's coming, I should understand why. This is what you want to call justice. That's Eo's point. And what we'll see in the next shiur, probably not surprisingly, is Eo places, acts it out. He goes, okay, you want to claim justice? Let me present my case to God. And Eo, in a mock trial, starts to defend himself and present his perspective and challenge God and wonder why this is happening. And again, much like we saw in Eo's first speech, what he says to God is a continuation, connected, reflected of what he answers to the rain. Not just two separate speeches. He responds to this claim that Bildad made of justice, responds to that, and then he plays this out in his continued discussion with God, which is really, from his perspective, the key part of the discussion.